Today I'm going to talk to you about the challenge of who do you love when marriage is great, wonderful. When marriage seems to be a little rocky, how do we go forth? How do we continue on with the posture we need when our marriages maybe have a rupture or they need repaired? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. It is not contingent in our love for you. It's bigger than anything we can understand or imagine. It's greater and more empowering than we typically give it credit for. All we see is our stuff. All we see is the hard stuff, the stuff that just doesn't feel good. The questions that we have when life and circumstances just don't in any way shout how great you are. And yet, like in the Psalms, over and over and over again, you invite us to share our brokenness. You invite us to share our questions, our doubts, our struggles. And again, like in the Psalms, it somehow comes back to humbling ourselves before you, praying for you to move, to act, praying for you for help. So as we gather here today with our doubts, our struggles, with our brokenness, with whatever may be in this thing called life, help us to rely on you. Help us to trust in you. Help us lean on others. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Amen. The scripture comes from Ephesians, and so hopefully it'll be able to connect with it up on the screen. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. This is, if you will, a continuation. Throughout the year, I'm going to continually bring up the importance of how, as a church, we need to run to the Lord when it comes to relationships. That he gives us not only direction, but clarity, not only power, okay, to work through the day, but the grace to do it with joy. This is, if you will, the couple slides that if you've been and seen, if you will, a couple times when I've spoken on marriage and relationships, I never dreamed blank and blank would have got divorced. Every one of us, if you have a pulse, knows a couple that we could fill in their names there. And we wish that it wasn't so. We prayed that it wasn't so. People that we truly looked up to maybe in marriage, for some reason, they weren't able to run the race. Not judging, just letting you know. They weren't able to. Traditionally, church's approach to marriage is 90% couples in crisis. We're here when you have a challenge, maybe 5% weddings, premarital counseling, and then 5% other. Anyone else? Everyone else? In other words, we might do a week, 2 weeks out of a year talking about marriage and stuff like that. We said, what if we had a different approach? What if we really focused 5% on crisis, 5% on weddings, but 90%. Everyone else. What would it look like if people came here and knew that God was for their marriage and as a church, we wanted to support them and care for them? And so from working through, if you will, doing series together on Sunday morning services, to also providing stuff, resources on our webpage to download a date night. Everything from A to Z. Got no budget? This is your date night. Got a budget? Here's your date night. And just kind of a good focused time away from one another. But also to challenge and encourage and try to provide environments where couples can encourage with meet and encourage other couples. Now, you might say, I'm not married. I'm not looking to get married. That's okay. This still relates to you because you probably know someone who's married and needs encouragement in their marriage. You know that there's people in your life that God has put you in their circle. They need encouragement. And so one of the habits that that I want to talk to you about today is loving God first. But what would it look like if we truly love God first? How could that really impact us? Because I know we have this thing called like two people are involved in marriage, right? And that's not even including kids, but you just have two people involved in marriage. You can feel like, I'm giving her all she got, Cap'n. I'm doing all I got. I think I can. And the other person just doesn't seem to be as involved and committed. That's a tough, hard road. I'm not going to give you any easy answers up here. You deserve better than that. But let me, if you will, give you a metaphor. I talk about, if you will, an incubator for eggs. Incubators are very unique in the fact that they're very precise. If you didn't know this, a little fun fact, you can impress no one with this. For chicken eggs, takes 21 days for them to finally be able to grow and be hatched. Quail eggs need 17 days in an incubator. Geese, 32 days. They must have a temperature, if you will, between 99 and 102 degrees. They have to be turned three times a day, pretty much a quarter turn, so the things don't get too sticky. Again, proper humidity and space. All these things, you're going, I can't wait to use this Monday. I know. The reality is that every one of our relationships, like this incubator, if you will, metaphor, needs attention. None of us walked into marriage knowing everything we need to know about how to do this thing called marriage. In fact, most of us have no clue when we say yes, what that means. You'd never imagine holding someone's hair while they vomit. Saying, yes, this is what I was thinking, walking down the aisle. No, you never did. You never imagined walking into a doctor's clinic, helping them get out of the car. You never imagined what it was like to open up a bill and go, honey, why do we have $10,000 for a boat that we don't even like the ocean? You don't know what the other person's involved with. There's so many risks. There's so many things that just hurt sometimes. And so what would it look like if we really love God first? And we have announcements now. Okay, I'm not sure where that came from. Let's try this again. Go for it. Hey, all right, okay. One of the things I mentioned to you last time was our spouse doesn't bring out the worst in us. And that sounds like, well, no. You haven't met my spouse. Wait, hold. I'm trying not to make eye contact when I make those things because there's times when I'm like, I have people like, and I'm like, okay, didn't know that, but okay. But they reveal the brokenness in us. And it's those challenging times where we have to really lean in and work through that pain, work through that brokenness. Today, I want to really help you to understand how marriage is far beyond falling in love, but depends on standing in love. You might want to put staying, but I think standing really does say a lot. You have to stand. You have to work through it. You have to be all in. And the reality is, it's tough. How do we proceed? How do we keep working on it? Every relationship, no matter how healthy and how much work we put into it, will have ruptures. We'll have a tire blowout or a slow leak. Either way, we need a repair, every one of us. Now, when it comes to a Christian understanding of what marriage looks like, I'm going to give you one word, but it's basically about forgiveness. It's about restoration. It's about redemption. This word here, cruciform, it's a word that says so much more than just, okay, I'm not sure. Is this now he's trying to throw these theological words? This is the kind of love that seeks the best for the loved one, usually, and even so, more at personal cost, no matter what the cost is. The benefit of the other. We see this love on the cross. The love that I'm talking about is not dependent on the one receiving love, but the lover. This is how I can talk to you about how, yes, there's two people involved, and yes, you're going to have times where what's going on here? How do we proceed here? I don't even know if I like the person, let alone love the person, right? How do we proceed? And it's about this love that Jesus displays when he's on the cross. This love that he leans into our lives and says that we have the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he gives to us. I'm not trying to get mystical. I'm not trying to get a little crazy here. I'm just trying to help you understand that there's a grace that we can have to make it through each day and not just grind it through. There are seasons that are going to be tough. Absolutely. It's called life. There are going to be those difficult moments. But the reality is we don't go in it, don't have to go in it and through it alone. But the cross is that example of that self-giving love, the love that Jesus gave it all so that we may know him, so that we can do this thing called life. One thing I want to bring attention to in the text that I just found, I think, appropriate for our time together. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I kneel. And guess what? I also get power when I kneel. Isn't it true that a lot of times when it comes to this kneeling part, this kneeling is the first, it's the high road. It's the high road for us in loving one another. It's about to take the high road, we have to start going downward. We have to physically get on our knees. Now, if you're like, I had two knees to replay, I understand. My point is we have to pray. We have to begin with prayer. What we tend to begin with is pride. We tend to begin with the things that, don't they know who I am? I have done, and we kind of list it, and we're good with our memory then. Like, we can remember the conversation we had like 10 minutes ago. We walk in a room and go, what was I going in here for? But we can list the 20 things that our spouse or significant other didn't do to our expectations. What would it look like if we, again, look to the cross and saw how, let me try that again, maybe, wait for it, having an interesting issue here today. There we are. The cross and what that would look like in our own lives. There's this one text that a lot of times is used, and I'm a big fan. It's a humbling as a male, just flat out, where the Christian men are given a command. If you're married, love your wife like Christ loved the church. It's a beautiful command. What did he do for the church? He died for it. Wait a minute. So you want me to love my spouse like that? Yep. When I'm tired? Yep. When I don't have anything left? Yep. How do we do that? It can't come from just our love. It can't just come from within and just trying harder. We're going to get burnt out. We're going to have those crises in life and just say, I've done all I can on my own. When you've done all you can on your own, you're in the exact place that God can move, where you'll let him. Because you aren't trying to take the country on your own. You're not trying to take the mountain by your own strength. You're relying on God. You're saying, God, I don't know where to go with this. God's like, finally. Finally, now we can do something about this. Let's talk. And you're like, what? Moving on. I got a couple assignments for you. So if you have a spouse, wonderful. If you don't, write these down if you want a spouse down the road or for friends and family near you, okay? Just here's a couple assignments. Number one, get with another couple, and I want you to discuss how their parents or your parents fought. How did they deal with the ruptures in their relationship? It's scary how much we probably do the same thing. First time this is when everyone starts looking at their spouse, they're like, whoa, yeah, no, yep, and they're like, or elbow nudging. Okay. What were they about? What were those discussions about? What roles did each of them play? My parents fought where my mom, she's a stuffer. I've shared this before if you've been here before. She's a stuffer. She's world class. Like, she could be like champion trophy, okay? They'd like, woo, you know, Hall of Fame. She's very gifted at it. And it's not a knock on her. It's just what she learned. That's how she coped in her family's household. That's how she survived. Now, she's a stuffer. So, okay, I'll just love them. I'll just love them. We'll let it go. I'll just love them. And then burn a pot of hers, and next thing you know, you're like dead. Now, I'm not talking these are like Kefalon or anything like, we're talking like, Walmart pan, She's like, what? And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. My biological father, my parents got divorced when I was young. My biological father, as long as no one got hurt, he never moved. Like, it was like, nope, we're good. Everything's fine. No one gets injured. You're fine. He'll tell me he loves me, but I wasn't sure what that meant because I just never saw him involved in my life when it came to those things. I love him to death. I love him still. We have a very good relationship. But again, it was just not that kind of involvement. My stepfather, now he'd get in your face, and I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. And it was like almost like, and this is Dayton, Dayton, if you will, this illustration. Gallagher. Anyone under 40 might probably have no clue what I'm talking about. Gallagher had this like little splash zone, okay, and he'd like burst things open. Okay, it was kind of, and it was like, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to listen, but I can't. Anyways, and so we would have these moments of discussions. Now that's how they would argue with them and then the family. Well, guess what I start doing when I get married? First 6 months, I'm stuffing away. Stuff, 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 stuff. And then something of no consequence happens, and I erupt. Not healthy. Not a proud moment. How did it affect your family? And how did the conflict end or not end? Did it find a resolve or not? If you, again, are doing this with your spouse, listen deeply with what your spouse learned and experienced about, again, rupture and repair. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy that it's true that the person who we're supposed to be our support and our comfort becomes our verbal punching bag when we're stressed, when we have anxiety, when we just feel so tired? The smallest thing can make us react so poorly. How is that possible? One thing we need to be careful when it comes to trying to remember how the cross is our way as Christians is that we need to be careful to not let our feelings get hurt when there is this disconnection, that there's probably some other things going on, that the situation that's going on is really not about that. It's about something else. You are driving down the highway. My illustration for this, you're driving down the highway and you are trying to merge and people are coming, but you're trying to go with the flow of traffic. Well, the person behind you just feels that you're just not going fast enough and tells you with a few honks and maybe some verbal, loudness and then a physical wave of some sort saying you're number one in one way or another. Anyways, they do this thing. I have a hunch that merge wasn't the issue. There's other things going on there. There's something, maybe a slow boil waiting to erupt. And so how do we turn to the cross? Well, my encouragement for you is to widen your perspective. What if you took your partner's hand and together found grace? What if this cruciform love wasn't just to benefit you? Remember, it's for them, but it bounced back to you. What if in you sharing the self-giving, self-forgetting love for them came back to you? What would it look like? How can grace help us turn towards one another and not away from one another? Just when you think you're dying, you burst into life because this grace is enough. Your loving and being loved by God enables you to turn toward each other. Let me say that one more time. Your loving and being loved by God enables you, gives you the grace to turn towards one another. First assignment, talk to again another couple. How did their parents deal with the ruptures in their life? Second, if you will, assignment is to come up with a repair strategy. How are you going to deal with the slow leaks or the flat tires? Remember that the Lord and his love for you, remember the Lord and his love for you both. He loves you both. That the covenant that you guys made together is more than just this, I do, I will. I may kiss the bride. I may kiss the, nope. It's, there's so much more here. There's more that a contract is about individual needs. A contract is to ensure a negotiated behavior, even. What's appropriate? Taking care of self first, maybe a quid pro quo. But a covenant is about collective needs, one another. It's about sacrifice. It's working for the success of the whole. So here's your assignment number two. Come up with a repair strategy. What would that look like in your own marriage? Be clear. Be precise. Don't have lots of them. Don't make it complex. Be simple. Here's some wonderful advice after last month when I was talking about marriage, and I thought it was beautiful. I'm not going to embarrass the person because they were like, I'm going to tell you this. Now, you don't tell anyone else. I'm like, no, we're good. They said, if you're really having a big argument, here's what I want you to do. I said, what's that? And she got me and my wife. We're in my office, and I'm like, okay. And she's like, put her hands together. And she's like, okay. She goes, I want you to be able to argue this close. And I'm like, this seems dangerous. And she goes, naked. And I went, oh. Yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah. Jerry's like, I like that one. Okay. The reality is, when we can't be mad at each other that long, can we? I know for men, we kind of get, yes, dear, at that point, moving on. But come up with an idea. Come up with a strategy. Maybe it's just 5 minutes, let you vent, being still and just listening deeply, not trying to defend, not trying to solve any problems, just being present and listening. What would that do to our marriage? So find a way, a repair strategy. What's it going to take? And how can we help deal with the hardest part? Again, our pride. It takes all that you have and surrendering it before the Lord. There are seasons when, if you've ever been married, there are seasons when you gave 99% to make it work. Guess what? There's going to be a season when the other person might have to give 99%. And you're going to give all you got for that one. It's not about 50-50. There's no such thing in marriage, and you know this. If you think you're giving 50-50, then you're probably giving the 10 or the 1. In all reality, it's about dealing with the ruptures and repairs, not ignoring them, not pretending, not stuffing, not blowing up, but finding those moments to connect and reconnect. So what's your repair strategy? Again, assignment number two. Remember, the high road often begins downward on our knees. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a church, a body of believers that want what's best for one another, that want what's best for their relationships and the relationships of others. Whatever season we are in this world right now, maybe we're a longtime widower. Maybe we've been single for a time. Help us to turn to you now and to see how this relates to them and to us. Help us who have been married a while to prayerfully seek out those who need some encouragement. To be open and receptive to maybe investing in a marriage. Every one of us needs your help in our relationships, Lord. Help us to consider who you are and what you're doing in this world and how you want to work through marriage, how marriage is to be a light in the darkness to the world of your love, of your sacrifice, your cruciform love. Broke all the rules. Lord, the hardest part, letting go of that pride, give us the strength to do that. Help us not to react poorly. Help us to be open to what you want to do in us and through us. Lord, want to lift up those in our community that are struggling for whatever reason, health-wise. Lift up Linda, Pray that you'd continue to bless her and help her in this time. Thank you for Nikki and bringing her to through the surgery and helping her have a great team and family to support her in this time of recovery. Pray that you'd continue to bless each one of us. For those of us that maybe couldn't be here today, bless them indeed. May they look to what you're doing in them and through them and around them. We pray for the Edgerleys. We pray that you'd continue to bless their marriage as they go to support their family getting married. We pray that you would continue to help them shine like lights in the darkness. And Lord, we lift up our community and pray for the safety of in our schools. We pray that you would continue to just have your hand upon them. Protect the children and the teachers and the staff. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ in our churches, from Grace to Palm City to Vineyard to our Catholic brothers and sisters. We lift up what you're doing and pray your hand to be upon all of us, that we would all, your people, shine in such a way where others come to know your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we lift up our government. We pray for our world. We pray that you would humble our leaders, help them to lead in a way that glorifies you. Have mercy on us and help us, Lord. We pray. But Lord, no matter what, no matter where we find ourselves, may we always turn to you. Always turn to you in prayer, that our first step would be a step of kneeling. To stand in love, help us to first start by coming to you and praying the prayer you taught your disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.